So today we're going to continue on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the grace, what is grace, last week, and we went over several different ideas of grace and how grace applies in our lives and how do we receive grace and how do we remain in grace. But this comes from a scripture that the Lord put on my heart. I think it was back in August, and I read it, and it was in September. I read it, and I go, oh my goodness, I've never seen this really before, these three connected together. And let's go ahead and look at those right now. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14.
In the ESV, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And then
the next one.
Yeah, we're just going to read
this. This is the New Living Revised Version. May the grace shown by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God that God has given us and the sharing of life brought about by the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And just for your information, that is actually the New International Version, easy to read.
My bad.
No, it's okay. It looks like New Living Revised Version. Go ahead.
All right. Now this is the New King James Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
And then the Amplified.
Amplified.
Read it nice and loud.
Nice and loud?
Yeah, the Amplified, yeah.
Oh.
That's
like,
yeah, funny.
That's my life, people. Welcome to my world. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it.
So be it. Amen. Yep. So what we have here is we have Paul at the very end of the book of Corinthians. It was a letter to the Corinthians. It was his second letter. And he's giving them a benediction. He's speaking, declaring something over them that he wants to see happen in their lives. And one of them was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one was the love of God. And the other one was the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And those are like three things that go together. That, you know, we say they may sound separate, but it's building up to something that believers need in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I believe that today, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is where we all begin. It really is. It's when we come from a place of darkness, come from a place of no knowledge of God at all in our lives, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we receive. We receive that grace for our forgiveness of sins. We receive that grace to start a new life in God. Amen?
I'm just curious, how many of us remember the day that we asked Jesus into our heart? Do you remember the day that you asked Jesus to change your life forever?
I remember where I was.
There was a feeling that came over you. There was a newness that happened when you asked Jesus to change your world, rock your world, whatever.
Amen.
And that grace is what it was, grace that you felt. You felt redeemed. You felt
new.
New, but you also felt, I'm not telling you how you felt, but how I felt. I felt hope and a new excitement for life. When I asked Jesus into my heart, I was pretty young, not in, single digits, but early double digits. I asked Jesus into my heart, and some people say, oh, what do you know? You're a young teen. But let me tell you, my world was nasty, and I lived in an alcoholic home. I lived in a world of sexual abuse. I lived in a world of every other word was a cuss word. I mean, you know, cigarette smoke, alcohol, just all of these things that a young kid should not have to go through.
Right.
And when I asked Jesus into my heart, there was a hope that happened in me that I knew things could be better. I didn't know it personally, but I knew a hope that God could change my life. And he did. He changed it dramatically to the point that when I came out of all of that, I started going to church. I mean, there was such a rescue that happened in my life that I knew that grace that we're talking about could be mine. Even though I didn't know how that was going to work, I didn't know what that looked like. I knew that there was a grace that was enough to pull me out of that. And so at 17 years old, I graduated high school. I went to Bible college of all places. So here I go from this alcoholic home to a place of, there was chapel every day, and there was getting into the word, and there was love, and there was hope, and there was grace, and there was all of these things that I longed for all my life. And the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit all became mine because I said yes, and I knew that it could change me forever.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. Last week we went over a definition for grace, and I just thought we would do that again because it's so good. Go ahead.
According to the Bible, grace is simply the unmerited favor of God towards sinful man that comes in the form of love, mercy, and forgiveness, and can't be earned by good works or by simply being a good person, of which none of us is. This is what makes the divine grace of God so special indeed, as man can't give you such unmerited favor the way that God does.
Amen. Unmerited favor. We ended with this verse last week. And does anybody remember the significance of this verse? Anybody? You do, yeah.
Wait.
What? Oh, go ahead. No, you can both go. What? Last verse of the Bible.
Yes.
That's what you said. Yeah, last verse of the Bible.
Everybody gets a star on the top of their paper today.
And I just think this is important because, you know, when something's being communicated to us from somebody that is very, very important, which how many think the Bible is important?
Yeah.
I believe that as we get to the end of that communication, probably what's going to be most important is what's at the very end of that. And notice that John, through the Holy Spirit, wrote, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen." So I really believe that the grace is the starting point for our lives, the starting point for our lives in God. Just as Gay was saying, she got a new hope. She realized that her life could be different. She didn't know how.
Right.
She was probably even not really understanding the why, what everything that Jesus did for you.
Right.
All you knew is that what you had before you asked Christ in your life was different than when the day before. You were one way, and then you asked Christ in your life, and you were a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you knew that in that new way, you could change and have a transformation.
And something would change.
And something would change.
Yeah.
And that's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because we need the grace, you know, we received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ when we first got saved, doesn't mean that we don't need the continued grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And we're going to look at that today. So let's go ahead and go to John 1:14, ESV. Everything's in the ESV today, which is...
And what is that?
English Standard Version.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So this is one of my favorite verses in the first chapter of John. Not necessarily in the whole Bible, but even in John, it's one of my favorite verses. And because in the very beginning of that book, we have that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And it talks about everything being made through the Word. And so we have this ethereal, we have this supernatural, you know, utterance at the very beginning of the book. It's kind of hard to grasp and hold on to. But then John in verse 14 brings it all down into our lives, and he says the Word became flesh, and that's Jesus. He literally became a walking, talking, living God among us. He was all God and he was all man, and he chose to sit aside most of his God powers for whatever reason, where he would not just turn a stone into bread so he could eat it when he was hungry, or he wouldn't throw himself down off of a temple so that he could have the angels hold him up, or any of those other things that he was probably tempted to do because he knew who he was. He knew his origin. He knew who was dwelling in that flesh. And that was the grace of God. Jesus inhabited all the grace of God. All of the grace of God inhabited him. And so what better individual is there to give us the grace than the one that had the fullness of grace? The one that carried all of the grace of God now freely gives us all that grace back. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to hold on to some of this grace and you can have a little portion. No, that's what the grace of God means, is that whatever God had, he gave to us. If we had death in our lives, he gave us life. If we had sickness, he gave us health. The grace of God is what gives us health. The grace of God is what gives us the ability to breathe in the morning, I believe. Yeah, some would say it's the goodness of God, the love of God, but that's all encompassed in his grace, his mercy, and his kindness poured towards us. Do you have anything? Okay. So let's go ahead and look at the dynamics of grace working in our lives. I think the way that I put it is, how does God's grace, or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, make our life better, or how do we interact in our life with that? So here's 2 Corinthians 8:9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich.
I love it when the Bible gives us a definition. I love it when the Bible gives us like a full picture, a full package of what's going on. And this verse is doing that. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling them, listen, Corinthians, you know that grace. You've experienced that grace. You experienced that grace. I've experienced that grace. All of us who have received the salvation of God have received that grace. And what was that grace? Jesus, though he was rich, became poor. Though he had everything, he emptied himself. And why? So that in our poverty, we would be made rich. Mm-hmm. So that when we're thinking that we're just the dregs of life, just scraping along the ground like a bug, God said, nope, that's not you. You're a son. And he picked us up, and as he picked us up, we turned into something, from that worthless worm into a glorious being. And now he sits us in heavenly places. this dirty bug that was crawling on the ground that God could have just easily stepped on, he chose to pick us up and then set us in heavenly places, and we become a child of God. Mm-hmm. That's the grace of God at work.
A prince or a princess.
Prince or princess, whatever you want to call us. He knew that what the enemy had done in our lives for evil, he was going to make good. He took even the sin in the garden, and he reversed it on the enemy, and he made it so that we were more glorious than we started off as Adam and Eve, which they were glorious. You know, some people say, oh, well, God, if he was so good, why did he let them fall? Well, even in that fall, he made us more glorious than before the fall. That's the power of grace in our lives. That's the power of God in our lives. Here's another aspect of his grace. This is Romans 5, 14 and 15.
Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of God that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many.
So in Adam, all died. In Adam, all have died. When we were born, we were born dead, so to speak. We were living somewhat dead lives. I know what you were describing was a dead life before you came to Christ. I know for me, it was a dead life. Like I've said before, I looked up into the stars one time and said, there's got to be more to life than life. There's got to be more to life than just life, because it did not feel like I was alive. It felt like I was just going through some kind of a maze or like a joke or something like that, because what was happening to me did not seem right. Mm-hmm. And then I found Christ. And then so through the trespass of one, many died. Mm-hmm. But through the death and burial and resurrection, grace was released to us through the one man, Jesus Christ. That's how we received this grace. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He was releasing that grace already. Right. Even though they had nailed him to the cross, he was operating in grace. Father, don't hold this, like Stephen, don't hold this sin against them. Mm-hmm. Open their eyes, let them see. I mean, he's already extending that grace from an excruciating place of life, mm-hmm. where he's basically been tortured to the place of death. And then he releases his spirit and he says, it is finished. Mm-hmm. And I believe that at that point, when that temple rents, when that curtain rents in the temple, that at that point, I love that there's a song that says, mercy came running. And that's really what it was. Mercy, grace was released to mankind. So much so that even at that point, it says that people who were in tombs, people who were already dead, were raised from the dead. They didn't come out until 3 days later, but their testimony, we woke up from the dead. That's how much the power of grace was released. And grace is a power. Grace is not just a nice word that makes us feel good as Christians. Grace is an empowerment. It's a supernatural empowerment, I believe, to live, to do, to be anything that God needs us to be that we could not do on our own strength.
It's almost like a tsunami of love.
It's like the tsunami of love. That's why we need it so much. That's why we need to abide in the grace. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to not take matters into our own hands, which we will talk about in a little bit. So let's go ahead and look at 1 Timothy. This is Paul. Now, Paul's communicating to Timothy all these things about his life and what he's learned in God and how Timothy can be a good leader, how he can be someone that helps others grow in God. And so, he was like a son in the faith to him. And so he's pouring into him now, but he's also telling him about himself. And listen to this.
I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.
So here's Paul describing to Timothy. Listen, I was, at some point, he basically says, I didn't even deserve salvation because I was basically persecuting the church. I was killing them. I was, he doesn't say it here, but he says, I was basically the one that was approving of the stoning of Stephen. Mm-hmm. They threw their coats at my feet. That was basically saying, this is the one who's overseeing this judgment against this man. And we know that it was a false judgment because Stephen was a pure-hearted man. I mean, to the very end of his life, he said, Lord, don't hold this sin against them, just like Jesus did. And what Paul is saying, even though I was a persecutor, I was insolent, I was an opponent to God, I was a blasphemer, all of these things, I received mercy because I was doing it in ignorance. And that's why all of us are here today. Even though we were doing all those things, we were ignorant to what God really wanted to do in our lives. You know, when I was smoking dope and doing all those things that goes along with a reckless life, yeah, sorry. Eric's like, oh my Lord. It was over 40 something years ago, Eric, but it's okay. I'm just saying when I was doing things that I really didn't understand was even hurting me or hurting others or hurting God, I was doing ignorance and I acted in unbelief. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't know what to believe in. I didn't know to who to believe in. But the grace of God came to me. Mm-hmm. The grace of God came to me through Cal Ross and sat across the table from me and showed me the gospel plan. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I realized that my life could be different. As I've said before, I didn't, you know, fall on my knees and ask Jesus in my heart. It was like Jesus said to me, hey, Mike, start coming with me and follow me, and I'll show you how to live. And that's what I did. I started reading my Bible, started going to church, and I haven't stopped following him up to this day. And through all the trials, all the craziness, you know, the divorce over 30 years ago that I had to go through, abandonment with a 14-year-old, well, not at the time, he was a 9-year-old boy who had cerebral palsy, all of these things that look like, you know, the loss of him, all of these things, loss of jobs, all of these things that looked insurmountable that, you know, oh, it's going to cripple my life. God's grace sustained me.
Yeah.
God's grace carried me. Yes, and the love of God and grace go together. That's why it's the grace of God, the love of God, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. All three of those are necessary.
Yeah.
But it starts with his grace. Yeah. It starts with him saying, you know what, Father? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Because that's what he said to me. Don't forgive him, Father. I know he's nothing, but let's grab him out of the dirt, out of the dust, out of that thing he's crawling in, and let's make him a son, because that's what he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where grace can get messed up, and we're going to read about it. Go ahead.
Galatians 1, 6 through 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ.
They want to distort the gospel of Christ. There's been a lot of that through the years, that if you jump through all these hoops, then you're saved. Or if you follow this program that we've set up here, and it will keep you saved. Or back for them is if you circumcise yourself and your family, you'll be saved. That's what they were saying. And what Paul is saying here, it's a different gospel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put a little sign up: grace plus nothing. Grace plus nothing. All we do is say thank you to grace and then respond by faith, by living in his grace. But we can't do anything that's going to measure up to the grace that was poured out. We can't work in any way in our lives that's going to make up for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's a free gift. That's what it is. It's a free gift. So does that mean that we say, oh, I got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can go out and just do anything I want to? Well, that's tromping on the cross. That's tromping on his blood at the foot of the cross. That's saying, I don't care what you did for me. Mm-hmm. No, in response to his love and his grace, we now say, I'm going to live a better life for you with your help, with the love of God in my life and with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'll be able to respond to that grace in a way that will please you and show you that I appreciate the work that you've done in me and the work that you've done for me. So we have to remember that, as Paul says here, there's no other gospel. There's not another one. There's only one gospel. And what is the gospel? Jesus Christ. He gave up his life. He became poor so that we might become rich. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? That's the gospel. Do you realize that he's taking us from a place of sin and depravity and that whatever it is crawling on the ground, you know, in its own muck, mm-hmm. and bringing us to a new life? That's the gospel. Now, how do we respond to that? Well, we can respond to that by studying ourselves to show ourselves approved. In other words, we can examine ourselves if we're in the faith. Those are things that we can do. But there's no program we can go through. Can we go through programs to help us? Absolutely. There's things that you can go through that will help you overcome past hurts and you know, things going on in our hearts and heal you from those, mm-hmm. but they don't save you. They're not the gospel. There's nothing we need to add to our Christianity to help us be more saved. The word is crazy. It actually says that we were even saved before we were saved. I don't want to get into that. But he's the savior of all mankind right now. He was my savior before I finally made him my savior. His grace was waiting for me to say, yes, I'll receive your grace. You haven't said much for a while.
Well, no, I'm just thinking that it's just like a big present that if you open it, it will make your life better. But if you leave it sitting because it's prettily wrapped, is that even the way, is that, it's wrapped prettily?
Pretty?
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Pretty wrapping.
Because the wrapping is so gorgeous, you don't want to open it. You want to just leave it sitting there. Well, it's not going to do you any good if you don't open the gift and apply the gift. Like one of my most favorite gifts that I got was an apron from my sister, and it says on it, Master Chef Galene. Now, for those of you that don't know, I absolutely love cooking, baking, whatever it is. I love it. But if I don't put that apron on and use it, I'm going to get dirty. If I look at that apron and say, oh, it says Master Chef Galene, I don't want to get it stained. I don't want to get grease on it because the grease will never come out and, you know, want to make it look icky.
Or how about this one? Am I really all that Master Chef? Do I even deserve to put it on? That's kind of like grace sometimes,
yeah.
as well.
But if I don't put it on, then all of that stuff that I'm doing, it's going to get on me.
Yeah.
So we have to use the gift of grace. And grace, think about it this way. Grace is all inclusive. It's like the trip to Mexico that we took,
mm-hmm.
and it was all inclusive.
Love it.
You get to go and go to any of the fun things, or you get to eat all the food you want, or you know, you get to go to the shows, or you know, go to the adult pool, which means no kids are in that pool splashing you with water. It's just, you're just laying there in gorgeous, lovely water. But if you don't get in the water, if you don't go to the dining room and eat, if you don't go to the show, what in the world was the all-inclusive about?
Come on.
All-inclusive is grace, and under that grace is love, joy, peace, all of those things. But all you have to do is receive the grace and then use all the gifts underneath it for your life. It's all inclusive. But you have to use it.
You have to use it. I have one more verse I'll leave us with. Kind of goes along with Galatians. I got to read it. Okay. This is Acts 15, 7 through 11. Let me describe this. This is Paul. Now, Paul talks about this later on in Galatians, but this is Paul. and I believe it was Barnabas or Silas, one of the two, and they were going to Jerusalem to kind of once and for all get this grace plus nothing figured out. Because there were what were called Judaizers who would come before them in cities where they would preach, and then they go to the next one. These Judaizers would come and say, "Oh, you got saved? Well, now here's the law of Moses, and here's you know, keeping the exact Sabbath," and all of these things that they were trying to put on them so that they would be quote unquote true Christians, because they would become more like Jews. And Paul and Barnabas had it. And they said, "You know what? We're going to go talk to the leaders in Jerusalem, the very first apostles, the very first disciples of Jesus, and we're going to get this straightened out." And so in verse 7, Peter is recalling something. It's when he went to Cornelius' house. How many know that Cornelius was the first Gentile who was saved? The first person that was not a Jew that became a Christian. And his whole household was saved. And Peter describes this incident. He says, "And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, 'Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us.'" When he went to Cornelius' house, he was preaching about Jesus, he's telling him about it, and all of a sudden, guess what? The Holy Spirit fell on him. And the guys who were with them, because they weren't even supposed to be in Cornelius' house. No, the Jews weren't supposed to be in a Gentile's home. Mm-hmm. But because that the Lord had given him a vision where three times a sheet had come down and there were all kinds of unclean animals and everything in it, and the vision, he's being, "Get up, Peter, eat. Lord, what are you saying? These are unclean animals. They've never touched my mouth." No, what I've called unclean is no longer unclean. Mm-hmm. And so he got a little message to Peter. Probably Peter didn't quite understand. He's probably scratching his head. He was getting ready to go to lunch. And all of a sudden, doom, 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 the door knocks. And so he goes and he answers the door. And here are these Gentiles have been sent from Cornelius. And they basically said, "Hey, listen, our master, our the guy who sent us, saw in a vision an angel, and the angel said to go to this house in this city in Joppa and find you here at this house, and we were told to bring you back to him." And Peter goes like, "Oh, that's maybe what God was up to." So Peter took a few men, they went to this house, and like I said, he was preaching to them. Cornelius filled the house. He'd just been visited by an angel, and he was being told that this person that was coming was bringing a message of good news. And so he filled his house. You know, he said, "Wow, these people need to hear what this man's going to say." Do we really believe that people need to hear what we have? Do we believe that there's people out there that need to hear the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for their life? Or do we just take it for granted that someone else is going to tell them, someone else is going to invite them? We have a responsibility to let the world know the good news. And sometimes it's not us giving the good news. Sometimes it's taking to where the good news is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a side note. Then he goes, "And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us." Then he says here, "And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And so after they heard that testimony, they heard the testimony from Paul and Barnabas or Silas, or whoever, which one it was, they ended up saying, "You know what? All that they have to do is give up idols and food that had been strangled." And basically it was, you know, worshiping food that had been given to an idol, and to keep themselves sexually pure. And that's it. Grace plus nothing, basically. Live a life that is in God's grace, receive his salvation, plus nothing. And why? Because the work was finished on the cross. If we try to add by making it so that we have to do things, it makes the cross of no effect. It takes its power away. And then what we've done is said, well, by my own works, I'm saving myself. And then one final scripture, which I had last week, so I didn't count it as one more. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nobody on earth can boast about their own salvation. You know, that's why when people say, well, I found God, and, you know, and I was able to, you know, pull myself up my own bootstraps after that. No. It's only by the grace of God that you found him. He drew you to him. He gave you the ability to say yes by probably putting all kinds of things in your life so that you're finally ready to say, I give up. And guess what? Now you're sustained in him. If you become anything at all, if you become a pastor, if you become Billy Graham, it's only by the grace of God. And I guarantee before Billy Graham died, he said anything that I did was only by the grace of God. I did nothing in my own strength. Mm-hmm. It was only by the grace of God. And so that's why, family, we need the grace of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to be a reliant, dependent, fervently keeping ourselves in Christ so that the grace of God is able to work in our lives. Yes. And I think over the next few weeks, we'll see how the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit helps us stay in the grace of God. Amen? Does anyone have any questions?
Or comments?
Or comments? Yes. Thank you for coming up.
I heard this, something like this last year, and it was about who was and is to come.
Oh, amen.
And how Jesus was grace when he came. And he is now our grace.
Mm-hmm.
And the last words of the Bible show he is to come,
and
he will
be
our grace at that time.
Oh, that's good.
So, that's beautiful.
Was and is to come. That's perfect. All right. Father, we just are so thankful, Lord, for your grace in our lives. We're thankful, Lord, that even though we didn't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, Lord, we couldn't do anything to even maintain it. You just freely give us your grace. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would learn how to appreciate, treasure, and continue to appropriate your grace in our lives. Lord, so that we can be those ones, Lord, that are a light in the darkness. That we can be those ones that bring our friends and our loved ones to Jesus. Have you heard about the Messiah? We've been waiting for something great. You've been waiting for something great. Jesus is here. Lord, we thank you that you've taken us from the place of the dirt and seated us right next to you because of your grace. And I just pray right now for anyone who doesn't feel they deserve, feel that they no longer are qualified or able to have the grace of God in their lives because of something they've done. Lord, remind them it's what you've done. It's not what they've done. It's what you accomplished, Lord, not what they did. Lord, that your grace, Lord, can even take us from getting back in the dirt if we do and seat us back up next to you. Just release, Lord, your grace over our lives. I speak the grace of God over every heart and life that's here today and hear this in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.